Please turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. The second book of the Chronicles chapter 33, and I'm reading verse 10. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. My subject tonight is conquered by grace, conquered by grace. King Manasseh is really a great failure, humanly speaking, but spiritually speaking also before his conversion. A great failure, a tragedy. Why? Because here is a sinister case with a string, with a compilation, with an accumulation, really, with a catalog of iniquities, many iniquities. You can really write a litany of his failures and shortcomings, great sins he has done against the only God. But you see, we may also say Manasseh is the equivalent of the prodigal son of the Old Testament. But even, I believe, even worse than the prodigal son of the New Testament. In the person of Manasseh. But my dear friends, we see also in King Manasseh, the account here tells us about God's amazing power and grace and mercy to convict, but also to convert a sinner. That's really where we should start from. The amazing power of God to save anyone. Nobody is beyond the reach of God's hand. Nobody. And we shall prove that in the short time we have before us. The power of God, as Paul will say, to convert the chief sinner, number one sinner, is really Manasseh. But he will find grace. But you see, the record is different in each one of us' life. Your life, my life, the other person's life, everyone is different. But there is something, though Manasseh is a king or was a king, he is a representative of each one of us. Each one of us. But thank God, praise God, he became a trophy of grace and he was conquered by the grace of God. But you see, already I can read some minds. Already the self-righteous is saying to himself, no. I'm not Manasseh. I'm better than him. I'm not that bad. I'm better. I'm a good person. That's in all of us. But you see, the humble sinner says, I know my heart. I know my heart. The problem of my heart, the wickedness of my heart, I know it more than anyone else. I don't need anyone to prove anything to me, because deep down in my heart, I have seen the pollution. I have seen my own contamination and pollution by sin. Oh, my dear friends, we have all come short to the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 says, no one is good, no one is righteous. No one is without sin. All of us, we have come short to the glory of God. I have five simple things. They are really all from the text here. But if you want to do a deeper study for yourself later, the record here, the account we are given in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, we find the parallel in 2 Kings chapter 21. So We don't have time to turn there, but a good study, looking, more details are given to us there, but we want to draw our attention on what is happening and how God exercised his grace and his mercy upon the most wicked man, in a sense, who has ever existed in this world, is Manasseh. So few things I want to say about the man Manasseh, King Manasseh. The second thing I want to speak to you about his sins. The third thing I want to speak to you about the judgment that came upon him. And the fourth thing I want to speak to you about his repentance. And the fifth thing, if time allows us, is to look at his restoration. How this man was not only forgiven, he was not only saved, but God granted him great restoration. So let's say a few things about Manasseh. Who is he, this man? And you can see from our text here, Manasseh, even his name, the name Manasseh means he caused me to forget. This is a forgetful man. What did he forget? It's like you and me. Oh, the first thing you and me, we often forget, is that God made us. God created us. He made us and he provides for us. He is our protector. But let's come to Manasseh. He forgot that God has granted him his goodness. God gave him not only goodness himself, but God gave also goodness to his parents. And this man, Manasseh, forfeited a godly heritage. He forfeited a godly upbringing. He forfeited a godly home. He was raised in the holiest home which has existed that time. But he has forfeited his heritage, his position, but also his identity. Everything good. This man at the end, and you see, he came into power at age 12. So you don't have to think, when I'm 20, when I'm 30, then I become bad. No, at age 12 already, he was a bad man, a bad boy. So sin is not about how old I am. Children and adults alike, young and old alike, every one of us is tainted and polluted by sin. And Manasseh forfeited that wonderful upbringing. But if I may risk to say more about Manasseh, because he was born 3 years after his father, Hezekiah. Hezekiah is his father. And Hezekiah, as far as when we read the word of God in the Old Testament, he was the best king after David. There was no king like Hezekiah after David. He was a good king in Judah. But we remember also that Hezekiah became very ill, almost to die. And he prayed unto God. So God, in his mercy, granted to Hezekiah 15 more years to live. Now, in those 15 more years granted to Hezekiah, on the third year, Manasseh was born. So you wonder, should he really be born? Such a wicked man, out of a time where God prolongated, out of grace, the life of his father. And as I said, he came to power when he was 12 years old, just 12 years old. And he reigned over Judah for 55 years. No other monarch beat him in terms of the durability and the duration of his time on the throne of Judah. The longest reign in the history of the people. And he was there. And even in secular history, that's interesting, in secular history, we read about Manasseh. He was considered to be a vassal king, a weak king, a poor king, paying taxes to the Assyrians. The underdog, he made himself to be the underdog. Why he should have been a strong king? Because of his disobedience. And if I may just say one more thing about Manasseh, which is also, you can see how he forfeited this man. It's not because he did not know. And even in our world today, many people say, oh, I did not know. Actually, nobody is to be ignorant when it comes to the law. In the same way, nobody is to be ignorant about the word of God. We know a lot. And because with Manasseh, he was under the preaching, the sound preaching of five prophets. Five! Hosea, Joel, Nahum, Habakkuk, and Isaiah, the great prophet. He heard the word of God. He heard sermons after sermons. He heard prophecies, but to no avail. To no avail. That didn't do anything into his life. At least for a moment, it didn't do anything. Oh, my dear friends, his longevity, the duration of his reign was not because of his godliness, but you know the reason of his longevity was because God was patient with him. Do you know God is patient with us? Each one of us is patient. Otherwise, he could have wiped us, finished with us, because we are so rebellious, we are against him. But day after day, as Romans chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, that God's patience should really move us to repentance. That's what God is asking us to do. But the second thing, look at Manasseh's sins. They are horrible. Really, there is more sin about him, I may say, than anyone else in the Bible. But one expression, one phrase can sum up really all what this man has done in abomination. Look at it in verse 2. And it is repeated three times in this chapter that it is relevant to point it to you. Look at it in verse 2. And it says in verse 2, but Manasseh did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen. Look at verse 6, the end of verse 6. Oh, he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. It's the same in verse 9 again, whom the Lord has destroyed. And so Manasseh, verse 9, made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen. Three times here we are told about the abominations. Oh, my dear friends, I know all of us who have ever read the Bible, we know names of certain kings of even Judah or Israel, the nation, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Some of them were really wicked kings. But you see, we can name some of them. You have Ahaz, you have Ahab, you have Jeroboam, you have Amon, and all these, you have the Queen Jezebel. All these kings were abominable. But guess what? They look like saints when you compare them with Manasseh. Hardly, if I may say hardly. You think about horrible men who have lived, who have committed crimes and crimes, genocide even. But when you look at it, hardly in history you find a man who went so far into sin, so bluntly against God like this man, so that even God was fuming. He was angry because of the sins and the abominations committed by Manasseh. But my dear friends, if I may just give you a laundry list of some of the things Manasseh has done, it's all here before us. When you take from verse 1 to verse 10, all of them are given to us. Idolatry, it's there. Paganism, it's there. Oh, witchcraft, sorcery, spiritism, consulting spirits, occultism, it's there. Unbelief, astrology, it's there. Enchantment, it's all there. Oh, this is a man. You know, worse than even that, he desecrated the holy place of God, the holy house of God, the tabernacle, the temple in his time. He desecrated it and he profanated, he blasphemed the name of God. When you look, we don't have time, I'm sorry to show you all these things, but later when you read it, he has violated and broken every one of the Ten Commandments of God, the holy law of God, the permanent and universal law of God that is written in the heart of every man. He violated these things. And worse again, if that could be worse, he offered his children through fire. He didn't have even a heart, a fatherly heart, just emotional heart. Can you think a father who is given his children, it says in plural, it doesn't say just one, his own children, he gave them to be burned as an offering. And you remember in Israel, that was a Canaanite sacrifice. It was a pagan sacrifice for somebody who was educated. It's like our nation here. All of us, we have been educated. You like it or not, we speak about our British values. The British values are the Bible. The Bible. That's what made this nation. And these are the principles about with which this nation, the laws of the nation, the laws of the country, the honesty you see, the integrity you see in our nation, all that was based on the Bible. But now we say we know better than God. But Manasseh gave his children, his own children, like you give animals as a sacrifice. And if worse could be again, he erected a goddess in the very holy place. You know what is in the Holy of Holies? You find the Ark of the Covenant, you find the mercy seat, you find the cherubim there, you find the rod of Aaron there, you find the law there, you find the blood of sprinkling of atonement there. And in that place, can you imagine? What a great sacrilege. This is the greatest profanation. He put there a goddess. A statute, and the statute we read from history is as tall as a man for idol worship there in the place which should be a place of holiness and of worship and adoration. Oh, we couldn't say really how this man was wicked. But please move from Manasseh to you and me, our society. This is the portrait of our society, my dear friends. We are not ashamed of sin anymore. Look, you walk in the streets of our vast city. People are not ashamed. I remember, I cannot say how far, but at least the culture I come from also, that not long ago, 20 years, 30 years ago, there are things that were so ashamed to be done, so shameful. Nobody will dare even say those things or behave in such a way. But now those things people applaud. They are very happy to hear those things. They are very happy to do those things. My dear friends, this is our world. We are not ashamed of sin anymore. And you read the newspapers, you look at on television, people brag about their sins. We brag. We lift up ourselves and say, "Whoa, how great I am." We are great in our shameness, in shamefulness. That is what we are, my dear friend. So look more than Manasseh. Look at the portrait of our society. Look at your own heart. For those who are converted before your conversion, and if you have not sought and found the Lord Jesus Christ, please think and examine your heart. Even right now, you will see how that heart is so dirty. And it cannot stand before the living God. Oh, Manasseh bragged about his own sins. And people say today, "I will do what I want, where I want, when I want it, and nothing will happen to me." And they test God, and I can say, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Galatians chapter 6. What a man sow, he shall reap. So this is what is our society is going to be judged, is going to be punished, because we do not want to turn away from idolatry, from syncretism, from occultism, from all those necromancy. He consulted witchcraft and necromancers. He consulted them just to read the future and to find himself given to paganism. This is Manasseh, but it is also our society. Oh, my dear friends, Manasseh has lost it. And when you read verse 9, Manasseh did not only sin, but he made other people to sin. That's what, look at our world again. Nobody sins just by himself. We sin and we make other people to sin. And Manasseh killed the prophet Isaiah, who did so much good to the nation and to his own father. A Jewish tradition says that Isaiah went to hide in the trunk of a tree. And guess what? Manasseh asked the people, go and sow the tree with Isaiah inside. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read that some prophets were sown. So maybe that's the occasion about Isaiah. But you can see the ugliness of the sins committed by Manasseh. I must come to the 13th. Look at the punishment now of Manasseh. My dear friends, do you wish to be punished by God? I don't wish that. Oh, that's why David said, let men punish me, but let not God punish me, because God punishment, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God, because God is a consuming fire. People say, oh, you made my life a hell. They don't know what they are talking about. Really, hell is to fall in the hands of an angry God without repentance. But look at his punishment, verse 11. We are told in verse 11, wherefore the Lord brought upon them, the captains of the host of the king of Assyria. The proud king was dragged into, like an animal, hooked to Babylon with bronze fetters. What a humiliation for a king. My dear friends, do you know that this is exactly what sin does with us? Sin leads us like an animal. Sin tells you to go this way, you go this way. Sin tells you to do this, and you do. You know, people say, oh, I don't believe in the devil. Don't be surprised. He leads them. He leads them. That's why they are acting the way they act. But sin is a slave master. Sin sticks to you like your shadow. And that's why like in a hooker, it leads us where, oh, we think we are free. You hear that in the world. I'm a free person. Nobody is free. The only freedom that you and me can have is when we find the Lord Jesus Christ. A non-believer is only free to sin, but a believer is only free to serve the Lord. That's the difference. But my dear friends, the Assyrians, I spoke about it last Sunday evening. The Assyrians, they were a war machine. They show no mercy to anyone, even to dead bodies. And this is the people who are coming now. Do you remember when Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, the Assyrians besieged the city of Jerusalem? But without Hezekiah and his army fighting against the Assyrians, the Lord, through the prayers of Hezekiah, guess what? 180,000 soldiers of the Assyrians' army were dead, killed by the army of God, without even Hezekiah doing anything. But now, because of his disobedience, can you imagine what is happening? Not only the nation is being submitted and subjugated, but the king himself is taken into slavery like a slave, dragged like a slave. You see what disobedience does. I must carry on. I see the time is running. But the 14th, look at his repentance. His repentance is here given to us in verse 12 and 13. Oh, abased, he came to himself. My dear friends, repentance is never trivial. People say, I repented. But you look at their lives, no change, no transformation. Oh, my dear friends, there is no half conversion. When you see half conversion, it means it's half repentance. And repentance should never be vague or general. He didn't just say, when you look at his repentance, Manasseh didn't just say, God save me, amen. That's what you see in this world, in many churches. But look how he repented. It is a prayer, very deep prayer. And I wish that prayer, if I could inculcate it in your mind and print it in your mind. It says in verse 12 and 13, in his affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And in verse 13, he prayed unto him. He prayed unto him, unto God, not to gods. And look at the answer of God in verse 13 then. And he was entreated of him. Manasseh did not have to wait long. You see, if your repentance is sincere, you don't have to wait long. And verse 13 says, God heard his supplication. God heard it. And God answered his prayer. So you can see the verbs there. He besought the Lord. He humbled himself before the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. He prayed unto the Lord. This is really repentance. Not just, God, I'm a sinner, save me. Oh, my dear friends, that's what you need even now. Instead of letting us at the mercy of King Satan, God sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for sinners on the cross of Calvary. Otherwise, we will be at the mercy of King Sin and King Satan. That's we without the Savior. Manasseh received a new heart. And this is what Christ does for us when we come to him in repentance and faith. He saves us. Grace conquered our sins. Our pride is crushed. That's what Christ does. Oh, forgetful Manasseh now remembers. He remembered his God. Before, you remember his name? He caused me to forget. But now he remembers his God. This is the only God. He trusted that there is no alternative. You know, people are saying, even in our age, they are saying, oh, what about this God? What about that God? There is only one God, and this is the only God who can save sinners. And that God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. So now, as a saved man, like you and me, God said, his sins, I will remember no more. That is wonderful when somebody finds the Lord Jesus Christ. His sins are remembered no more. They are cast away from him. He is indeed, oh, there is no greater joy than to sleep tonight knowing that all your sins are forgiven. That's the gift of God. God gives it to every repentant sinner. He understood that God is not just an option. There is no other God. God heard him and was pleased with his plea. God answers a sincere prayer. My dear friends, before I close, you know, the cross of Calvary is so powerful that it can bear the sins, the heaviness of the sins of a man called Manasseh, which means that the cross of Calvary is powerful to bear the sins of any one of us. Any one of us, if we come with sincere repentance, all of us. But look at, as I close, his restoration. That's in verse 14 to 17. God's grace saves and transforms a man. The old Manasseh said, I hate God. I don't need God. But the new Manasseh says and decrees, everyone should love God. That's the new Manasseh, and it is wonderful. We are not told how the Assyrians set him free. We don't know how he came back to Jerusalem, but I believe a miracle happened. God brought him back to Jerusalem as a king. It is there in verse 13. God brought him back, and he was restored into his kinship with a new spirit, new priorities, new commitment, new direction, new attitudes. He is getting now. It is a new man. He is restored. never be the same again. True repentance, my dear friends, acts. It acts. Look at verse 15. You can see his acts there. And what did he do? He does the best to repair the damage he himself has done. Because everything his father built up, the old Manasseh turned it down. But now he is repairing the damage he has done. In verse 16, look at what he does in verse 16. Oh, it's amazing. He restores the worship, the true worship of God. And he even restores what we call the peace offering. Remember, all those things are pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, Manasseh is a new person. He is restored. The damage was done. It is deeper. But it was so great that his reformation was not nationwide. But we forgive him because nobody's perfect. We know that. But the beauty is that God has forgiven him. And he is a new man. He was saved and he was restored. And this is exactly the same thing Christ does in your life. He saves you and he restores you. You know what the Bible says? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. New creation. Allow me to close. What affliction do you want God to bring upon your life today? What pain, what tragedy, what loss, what failure, what doom do you want God to bring in your life before you listen? In verse 10, we read that God spoke to Manasseh and the people, and we are told that they did not hearken. They did not listen. What tragedy? Do you want God to arrest you? Do you want the police to arrest you and sentence you 6 months, 1 year, 20 years before you start to listen? Do you want to lose a dear one, a loved one, to become an orphan, a widower or a widow before you start to wake up? Do you want to go through a heavy accident? How many sermons do you want to listen to before you wake up into that spiritual sleep? Don't be like Manasseh and the people in verse 10. They heard, my dear friends, the depths of King Manasseh's sin is nothing in comparison to the depths of the King of Kings, grace and mercy. You don't have to taste sin until you know, oh, this is bad. You don't have to. While there is a Savior, I can receive the forgiveness of my sins. The Lord Jesus Christ dying that atoning death on the cross of Calvary. I can be a better person. I can be a forgiven person. Manasseh prayed. He knew God was God. And he was heard. And he was restored and acted according to his new heart. My dear friends, salvation is for the unlikely, unworthy, undeserving ones, you and me. So we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We seek his forgiveness. We repent from our sins. Come to him. God is able. God conquers with his grace every repenting sinner. And he is willing and he is able. Come to him. May the Lord bless you to do so. Let's sing our last hymn. Hymn number 432. Hymn number 400.